questions are all around us.
Learn.
Why is liquid cold?
Learn.
What is maths?
Learn.
Why does this, hurt?
Learn.
What is the Enlightenment?
I don't know.
And now, thanks to the University of Auckland, it's time to ready, steady, learn!
It certainly is, and this morning we're speaking with Dr. Mahla Najati, who is a research fellow on the robotics team at the Centre for Automation and Robotic Engineering Sciences, which is based in the Faculty of Engineering here at the University of Auckland. Kia ora, Mahla, how are you this morning?
Kia ora, and thank you for inviting me. I'm pretty good.
It's nice to chat to you. We're talking about AI and robots, and particularly the way that they see and think. Tell us a wee bit about your research field.
Okay, so my field is mainly on designing the vision system of ultra robots. So my PhD was on something like the designing the vision system for a kiwi fruit picker, kiwi fruit flower pollinator, and apple picker. Yeah, I think especially kiwi fruit picker is so needed in New Zealand.
Yeah.
With this shortage of workers. So our main work, especially on the vision system, is more like how human can see the world. For example, for a human, you have two eyes, you see the world, and after I say, oh, for example, that's a kiwi fruit, I'm going to go and pick that.
Yeah.
So that's so easy, actually, when you are doing that. But all the calculation that your brain is doing that, it's through the, what you learned when you were as a child.
Right.
You know? Because it's something like, okay, somebody told you that's a kiwi fruit, that's the definition of the kiwi fruit, that's the shape of the kiwi fruit. And after that, for even calculating the depths, because I think the kids until 5 years old, actually, that's the time that they can learn about the depths of the objects. Otherwise, they can see that 2D. And I think that's the reason when you see the kids, actually, they have a lot of problem to just something like the jumping, or when it's the step, they just go down and after crawling on that. Yeah, because the depth is going to be hard for them to calculate that actually in their brain.
That's interesting. I'd never thought about that. Thinking about some of my little cousins now, and that would make sense that they don't have strong depth perception yet.
yeah. Because that's one of the things that, but actually they learn that. And because that's one of the things that how smart we are in learning that. But when it comes to the creating the robot, actually you need to calculate all of those things. But thanks to neural networks right now, it's in the good way. I mean, I wouldn't say that is something like as good as human, but right now it's good. But
I was just going to say, so you're sort of teaching a robot, or I guess programming a robot is a more accurate way of saying it, how to do things like recognize the fruit and know how far away it is. So you're essentially giving it sight and giving it the thought processes that I guess are needed to make that decision. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's totally correct. It's something like, first of all, designing there something like the eyes, choosing what kind of the camera we should use or sensors for that robot. Okay, we designed that, and after that, okay, how should we something like that, the telling that where is what is the kiwi fruit actually, for example, for that example. And after that, just telling about that, yeah, how far is that? So after that, send a message to the arm, and the arm go there and pick that fruit.
It's amazing because, as you say, when we do things like this, we don't think about it. It's something that your brain is doing without you knowing it's happening. But when you're trying to unpick that and then recreate it in AI, it must be a very complicated process. How long has this research been going on for you?
Okay, so this project, my PhD project, was started in 2014 and finished in 2018. So we were working on that in a big team, something like 20, 25 people, and with the University of Auckland, University of Waikato, Robotic Plus, and Plant and Food Center. So it's a big group.
Big team.
And when we finished that, we started another project, Maratech project, since September 2018 for 5 years. So that's a bigger project. The focus is on the blueberry harvesting, vineyard pruning, and also apple fruit latining as well.
So when you're working on these different applications, can you use the basic stuff that you have, I guess, worked on in your PhD and in other areas of research to then adapt to look at blueberry picking, for example, or, as you say, vineyard pruning, all of these things that are kind of in the same world, or does it require totally different research bases?
Okay, yeah, usually we just go, for example, with the, that system that before we know that it's working, but sometimes, for example, the environment is different.
Mm.
Yeah, for example, what you have in the kiwi fruit, the structure of the orchard is different from, for example, doing the stuff on the blueberries even. Because for the blueberry, if you want to do the harvesting blueberry, they should be picked when they are ripe. So for that ripeness, it's not something actually that you can get a good accuracy with the RGB cameras. You should go, for example, with the hyperspectral cameras.
Right.
So you should change that, yeah. And or for the kiwi fruit, the good things is that because they pick that when they are raw, I mean in the first of the season, and after that they send that to the cold stores, so we don't care about if they are ripe or not.
Okay, I see. But tell us a little bit about what a tomato monitoring robot is.
Okay, so that one also is a project that we started, and we try to measure the size of the tomato, the detecting the leaves, the size of the leaf, and after that see the progress of that, that how much is growing actually. Because right now I think you feel that, how, for example, how expensive is tomato, especially in the winter and also in and in this year especially. So one of the reasons was that because of one of the disease. So one of the good things of the tomato monitoring is that actually monitoring that, knowing about the disease earlier than the season, and after that telling, for example, to the farmers, so something here is going wrong, and after they can go and maybe something like fix that, or in that case maybe we're going to have more tomato and more availability of the tomato. So that's one actually we right now I have some tomato plants at home and even at the university.
Yep.
So we try to monitor them, collecting the data, and after that capture all of this information. And after that, for example, having the prediction about that where the tomato is going to be ripe.
It sounds so interesting. And I mean, as you say, like the ways you have to continue to tweak this or continue to work on it, you could be finding applications for this, you know, forever.
Yeah.
It's like, it sounds like, very interesting research. Thank you so much for talking to us about it this morning, Dr. Mahla Nejati from the University of Auckland. Have a fantastic rest of your Tuesday.
Thank you.
That was Ready, Steady, Learn, thanks to the University of Auckland, the best university.